interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now
let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. And it is a Thursday, Ides of August edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, kicking off live from the Taproom River Ranch and always on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here at the Taproom. The famous Clint D with us in spirit and occasionally in voice from inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, as we roll out the red carpet on the full three-hour Monty today. We'll be heavy on LSU to begin, but trust me, we're getting to the Saints. We got a lot of new Cajun sound. We'll get you ready for week two in the NFL preseason, and we'll touch on some Houston Astros baseball as well. But your big news story, certainly locally, Cardale Thomas, the number one offensive guard in the country in the class of 2019, out and likely for an extended period of time. This came out not long after our show ended yesterday. But Cardale Thomas, offensive guard for Coach Ed Orgeron and the LSU Tigers. The fear is a broken ankle. Off the bench radio in Baton Rouge. We'll have one of their co-hosts on later. More on that shortly. But off the bench reporting that Baton Rouge native Cardale Thomas will miss 2 months with an ankle injury. Just feel for the young man. This is the time of year where you have to go hard. You absolutely have to prove yourself, especially as you try to scale the mountain and climb the depth chart. But boy, you have to be careful as well. And there really just aren't too many ways that you can do that once you get in a competitive situation. And you've got to show your stuff. And Cardale Thomas, I think somebody that figured to be maybe a depth factor in year one at offensive guard, somebody that with the new relaxed redshirt rule, boy, you'd love to see him get in there for four games this year. And I feel quite certain James Craig was thinking the same way, LSU offensive line coach. So first and foremost, I feel for the young man. Now, if you were to ask me, even prior to yesterday, is he in your top three, maybe even my top five, immediate impact performers for LSU football, newbies, I'm not sure I would say yes to that, just because there are so many others that really have a chance to play. So before I move on from Cardale and get into the impact of his injury and then some of the other big notes from LSU fall camp, let's get a little bit from Ed Orgeron. He obviously spoke on the subject last night. Here is his first announcement to the press that the big fella, Cardale Thomas, could well miss a lot of time.
Cardale just received an injury right there. It didn't look, I don't know how serious it is. We're going to see. I'm sure he's going to be out for a little while. So it's another interesting offensive lineman. So we have to find some guys that can play that.
And you could hear it in his voice. No coach likes any of his players to get injured. I think Ed Orgeron was really looking forward to beefing up his O-line and his D-line this year. And you know that as much as he wants Apu Aika and some of the cats on the D-line to contribute right away, sure, he was feeling the same. If he can get some PT from his OGs, yeah, he'd like that as well. Speaking of the offensive line, the reason this also stings, not just because of the performer that Cardale projects to be, currently Chasen Hines, Damian Lewis, both dealing with minor injuries. And so right now at least, offensive guard is just looking a bit thin. Some of the good news, as you kind of get the shakedown from these practice sessions behind closed doors, it seems as if the offensive tackles are starting to build just a little bit more depth. And maybe, just maybe, some of the guys like Dale Rosenthal, a couple years ago, a versatile prospect out of Faraday High School, might just be providing a little bit of depth for James Craig and that offensive line. And speaking on that subject, Ed Orgeron tells you here he's hoping that his first team O-line is back for this Saturday's second scrimmage.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, Damon Lewis is still out. I don't think he's going to be practicing. hopefully Chason Hines can practice. So I don't know that yet. It's only Wednesday. But hopefully that we have our first team line as much as we can. I don't think Damian is going to scrimmage on Saturday.
So I termed it as a minor injury. Well, it's significant enough that he's ruled out 3 days in advance of a scrimmage that, mind you, means nothing. Still, LSU's O-line dealing with some ups and downs. The news yesterday means a little bit more toward the downside. The big news from yesterday at the beginning of practice, you'll recall earlier this week, Joe Burrow came back. Yesterday, Grant Delpit came back. The heart and soul of this team's defense, a returning first-team All-American, and you could argue, and I think I certainly would, of the best overall player on the team. In fact, we'll debate that later this hour. But Delpit back certainly, I think, gives a lot of people confidence. And with Delpit, Fulton, Stingley, Harris, all healthy and rolling, Jacoby Stevens, you're firing on all cylinders right now in that secondary, at least health-wise. Which leads me to the other side of the football. Think skill positions. You're thinking wide receiver. Great news that Trey Palmer is back and healthy. We reported that earlier in the week. But the young man from Kentwood reportedly turning some heads. And this was Shea Dixon's pick the click. He gave that to us maybe 2 months ago because Palmer was showing some things during Tommy Moffitt time in the summer that made people stand up and take notice. He was arguably the best overall player at any level in December in the Dome for the high school football state championships. And so Trey Palmer may be in this new Joe Brady-infused offense that Steve Ensminger's pulling the strings on. Maybe Trey Palmer gets some early playing time, especially in that Georgia Southern game. Why not? See what he can do. For that matter, another name that Ed Ogeron mentioned at the wide receiver position yesterday after practice, Jontre Kirkland out of Lutcher High School. Strong Louisiana high school presence in the show today. Kirkland, a DB, wide receiver, hybrid, very different body type than somebody like Michael Jacquet, who's got that same type of designation here for UL. But due to position scarcity, last year Kirkland moved over and played a lot more wide receiver. Ain't nothing scarce about talent in LSU's receiving core this year. But still, Kirkland getting an opportunity. And so everything that I think most of us expected Jonathan Giles to be last year, there's an opportunity for that combination of players I just mentioned. Trey Palmer, Jontre Kirkland. It's possible they become that slot position threat that Giles really never materialized into a year ago. So I know yesterday, hey, we talked a bunch of fantasy football. We got into the Saints. Tuesday, we didn't have a program due to the Astros. Today, I wanted to come out firing with our best on LSU football. And we'll keep that train going later in the hour. We'll have a lot of time for you. Don't forget the number, 706-0111. Full three-hour Monty today. Let me roll out the guest list for you. On the other side of this opening break, Richard Justice, MLB.com correspondent, and an absolute beast on the Astros and MLB beat. Excited to get him back. We had it scheduled yesterday. Really cool of him to take a rain check. So one of the best to ever do it, covering Major League Baseball. Richard Justice on the other side of our opening break. Yeah, we'll talk Stros, but I want to get his pulse on contenders in the AL that are not the Yankees or the Astros, contenders in the NL as well that are not the LA Dodgers. So don't forget about Richard Justice on the other side. At 5:05, it's been a while. Jordy Collada, I told you, we'll have a co-host from off the bench, ESPN 104.5, 104.9 in the capital city. And not just on the Cardell Thomas news. Those cats have been pulling guests. They're pretty darn good at that. John Bell Edwards was with them recently. So we'll get Jordy's feedback on the Superdome, set to get a $450 million renovation. They also had Bobby Hebert, so the latest from the Cajun Cannon. Jordy Collada will be with us at 5:05. At 5:30, Jeremy Holy. We're going to preview the 9th annual Raging Games coming up a week from Saturday at Blackham Coliseum and then prep football with Blaine Viator at 6 o'clock. These are the three schools we will discuss. Rain High School, Church Point High School, and the one and only Blue Gators of Ascension Episcopal. You love those programs? Make sure you're dialed in at 6. A lot going on today, I told you. So buckle up and keep up. We'll be right back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Middle of August, and you better believe it is football season in South Louisiana. Let off with some LSU talk, and yeah, in about 15 minutes, we'll get right back getting your take on LSU football, in particular, that defense. But as we stumble back into the Tap Room River Ranch, a lot of rain outside. We're going to heat it up here, some high heat when it comes to baseball intel and conversation. I was excited about this yesterday, and all that excitement did was build overnight. We're lucky enough that we're able to bring back a guy that we've had a couple of times on the program, including 2 years ago when we made our first voyage, our maiden voyage, out to Minute Maid Park to do B2BS Live from the home of the Astros. And so without any further ado, let's bring our man on now. It's time to bring aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, Richard Justice, MLB.com correspondent. Richard, it's getting to be that time. We're getting oh so close to the playoffs. How are you today?
I'm good. It is about that time. It's you know, for a lot of these teams, especially in the National League, it's one of those stretches where it feels like your season's riding on every pitch. And you know, Ben, players have told you after it's over, after the season's over, they're exhausted mentally and physically. But at the time, you don't even know you're tired because there's so much riding on everything.
You and I spoke a couple of months back, and the conversation was the 2017 group that won it all and this 2019 group. Now they've bolstered the roster. Let's look at the pitching rotation. I guess your observations about the addition not only of Zach Greinke, but of Aaron Sanchez as well.
Yeah, they couldn't. You know, Sanchez, I look at him as a future acquisition. They believe he's going to be a mainstay in 2020 and beyond. I don't know what his role will be in the postseason this year, but they went out and got a big-time arm. And it's the kind of arm not unlike Charlie Morton, not unlike Wade Miley that they've had success with. What Jeff Luhnow has done is put the team in the best position to succeed he can. You know, but as we saw in 2017, a lot of these postseason games come down to a coin flip, who makes a play at the right time. And Jim Leland, I would always tell, or always would say, don't tell me who the best team is in the regular season. Tell me who the healthiest team is on October 1 and the team that's playing the best. So, you know, it's the rest of this season for the Astros is about just trying to get your ducks lined up and being in the best position you can be in terms of the way you're playing.
Richard, offensively, this Astros team at times scuffled a little bit at the beginning of the season. Lately, they have been just white hot. I know that injuries will tell the tale come playoff time, like you mentioned, but which version do you think that they're maybe closer to of the two that I just mentioned?
Yeah, you know, this is a better team on paper than the 2017 team. The bullpen is much better, you know, and that was a problem in 2017. And you're not going to find a better, as good as the Mets rotation is, as good as the Indians are, and Nationals are pitching right now. You're not going to find one better than this. And what you mentioned about the offense, you know, adding Alvarez to this mix, adding Michael Brantley, that lineup is scary good. I don't know that you're ever going to. This is as good as you can get right here because it's a, you know, they talk about high leverage pitches that a pitcher has to throw and who do you focus on in the lineup. You don't have that freedom when you're facing this lineup because you start at Springer at the top and you go to Gurriel in the seventh spot and Alvarez in the fifth spot and all those guys. It's a pretty dynamic group there.
Talking now with Richard Justice, MLB.com, and that's where they've got the Morning Lineup podcast. He does that alongside our good friend Allison Footer. And a guy you didn't mention there, when speaking of the offense, is Yuli Gurriel. How do we account for the monster that he has been after the All-Star break?
Yeah, you know, he had a conversation with Carlos Beltran. And Carlos Beltran made some – and he's done this with others. He did this with guys when he was on the team. And he just sort of made a tweak to his mechanics, opened his front foot up a little bit, and it allowed him to see the ball out of the pitcher's hands with both eyes instead of one eye. And he's just been a monster. And, you know, when you talk about who's going good, who's not, and all that, that's exactly what we're talking about. you want to get to the playoffs with them performing at about the level they're at right now, you couldn't, you're not guaranteed of anything, but it's as close to a guarantee as you can have. You know, when you look around, you go, well, the Yankees are tremendous and the Dodgers are tremendous. And you've got a bunch of other teams that are getting hot at the right time, but it's a long time. It's still got 6 weeks to go, 7 weeks, and we'll see how it works out between now and then. It's really a fun group to watch.
I always love, Richard, if your brain when it comes to the rest of the MLB. So let's stay in the American League first. The Yankees, the Astros, they're running away with their divisions. I'm going to throw out at you the Twins, the Indians, and the Rays. Do you like one of those three more than the rest?
The Twins, the Rays, and the Indians? I think the Indians have top to bottom of the best pitching staff. But I'll tell you, the team that I think is really dangerous in the postseason is Tampa Bay, because they have pitchers that throw really hard, and they make every at-bat uncomfortable. If they can string together, and I guess you could say the same thing about the Indians, if they could string together enough offense, they would be the team to watch. But really, considering the way Minnesota scores runs, any of those three teams could win the World Series.
We'll finish on the National League side. Obviously, the Dodgers will be a favorite to get to a third straight World Series. Anybody else you like? Can these kind of young Braves get their way there? Maybe the Cubs? Who else in the National League could do it?
Yeah, I think Atlanta is really, really good, and they've done a good job bringing reinforcements into the bullpen. They, like Minnesota, score runs in bunches. If the Mets get to the playoffs, and I don't know if they're going to get there, but if they get there, they've got a rotation, a postseason-designed rotation that's as good as you're going to see. And since Lugo moved to the closer's role, they're pretty good there, and they've got a little of that magic going. Washington is also a team that nobody talks about, but Scherzer now is going to be back in the rotation probably this weekend, probably on Saturday. So you got, if you can go with Scherzer, Pat Corbin, and Strasburg, that's a postseason rotation too. And, you know, with Anthony Rendon is performing like an MVP. I think that's the thing about all these teams is that you could make a case for pretty much 10 teams winning the World Series, although you would start with the Dodgers, the Astros, and the Yankees, maybe in that order.
So as we talk here in middle of August, Richard, everybody here is football crazy. This time of year, we mentioned you're gearing up for the MLB playoffs, but anything football-wise get you excited?
No, I like being at home on Saturdays watching college football. I'm interested in the LSU-Texas game early in the season, but I watch from 11 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night on a Saturday. I kind of enjoy it all.
That's a beautiful thing. It's been our pleasure to have aboard Richard Justice, MLB.com. Richard, again, thanks for the time. Enjoy the rest of the season.
Thank you, Ben.
Told you. That would be a lot of fun. And speaking of those Houston Astros, we will have them beginning tonight. They're on the road taking on the Oakland A's. Aaron Sanchez, guy we just talked about. For Jeff Lunau, A.J. Hinch and the Astros against a former Astro. On the mound at home, it's Mike Fiers. That guy's been good this year. 11-3, 3.30 ERA. Frankly, the Oakland A's have been pretty good this year. I want you to consider this. The A's are 16 games above 500. Strong contenders for a wild card spot, but 16 games above sea level, and they're still 9.5 games back of Houston. And so this pace that the Astros are on, it's absolutely torrid. And we'll have that ball game tonight, 9:10 Central Time, first pitch. And typically that means about 8:35 Astro launch will take off from the West Coast. All right, I did need to infuse some baseball. Had to do it. When you can get a guy that good on the program, you're a fool if you don't. So our thanks again to Richard Justice, MLB.com. But here's the drill. We're going to hit a quick break. On the other side of it, it's time to get interactive. We've already shared this on our socials. We're getting some feedback. I want some calls through today. We're going to talk best LSU defenders. And we're going to get a little technical here with some points because there are a few of those that I would like to make. So keep the number handy. Heck, get in the queue with CD right now. And on the other side of the break, we'll lead off with you. 706-0111, the number to play. So we're talking LSU football. specifically the defense, when we return. And we'll close the hour out with the latest from Raging Cajuns camp. They had not only an interesting initiative for Cajuns players with the RCAF, they got a couple of players that are starting to impress on the defensive side of their own. So we'll let Billy Napier tell you all about that as we wind down hour number one. And then Jordy Collada at 5:05, live from Baton Rouge, talking plenty of LSU, a little bit of Saints as well. You're listening to Bumper Sports. Ben and Clint taking you home. Many of you through the rain, so stay safe. And keep it locked in to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports. But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
That cat's reading my mind. We've got a gridiron debate, and I'll get right to it as we come back into the Taproom River Ranch. Quick reminder before that, we've got live music following our show tonight. We're out of here at 7. That'll give Clint time to come and meet me. And then 8 to 11, our good friend Corey Lynn Landry laying down the sound. As always, there's no cover charge. Just start your weekend early with great local music. Corey Lynn will be here 8 until 11. Same drill on Saturday with Carl Sanji. Make a special note. This is the final installment of the Saturday Summer Music Series. So Saturday, 8 to 11, you got a place to come watch great local music with Carl Sanji. You don't pay a dime for the cover. You just enjoy more than 40 beers on tap, the wings with the schwing sauce, tremendous flatbread, and more. All right, Clint, I have teased this. We've got good social media response. Let's get actual social call us on the phone like pre 1999 type response. We'll play the music and then officially I'll roll out the question.
Love. Exciting.
Your sink or swim question of the day, assuming Grant Delpit is LSU's best defender, and no, that's not much of a reach, but assuming that fact, who's second? Who's the second best defender for Dave Aranda and this LSU team? I think we might have some differences of opinion here. And I know it's choosing better and best, good and better in some situations, but it's a fun talk to have. Call us up. Let us know what you think. 706-0111. Clint, while they marinate, give them your selection.
And, you know, when you look at some of the social media response, it seems like it's easy to go with some of the ones that have been mentioned. I'm not going to give an idea of who it is that people have been mentioning, because I'm sure Ben has a couple of those in mind. But for me, I got to go with Jacob Phillips. He's having to fill a massive void at the position of linebacker that Devin White left. And I thought he was on the come up last year, was really, really good, 86 total tackles. He's going to have to compete with Patrick Queen and rising sophomore Damone Clark. But from what I've heard, Phillips is heading into his junior season with a lot of hype and a lot of momentum. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. I feel like he can wind up being the second best player right here, right now, on the defensive side of the football.
Well diagnosed, by the way, with Phillips there. And you've also been drinking the Kool-Aid I've been serving you. It's not like a cult type thing with the Kool-Aid. It's Jacob Phillips' healthy Kool-Aid. I've been serving you that when we're in the studio together. But I got to tell you, it has surprised me, the reports coming out of fall camp, that Phillips is in any form of competition. But that is exactly, to your point, the case, right? It's Phillips along with Patrick Queen. You mentioned Damone Clark, second-year player at a Southern Lab that's starting to make a name for himself. That surprises me. Why? Jacob Phillips last year, playing second fiddle to Devin White, had 87 total tackles. 87 in his first full season playing. I know he was a sophomore last year, but first time to the field with regularity, 87. I'm going to repeat that. Had an interception, the pick six against Miami, a sack as well. I thought he was about to explode into a player that goes 100 tackles plus this year, and he absolutely still might. The fact that LSU has quality depth at linebacker, that's not a problem. That's a good thing. But it might edge him out of this conversation, because for me, Clint, I considered five guys. No stories, no lies. I just considered five players. Christian Fulton, Derek Stingley Jr., Rashard Lawrence, Caleb Chaseaux, and Jacob Phillips. I already told you, as much as a player man crush as I might have on number six, Phillips is a stud to me. He's probably not the answer to this question. I'm not sure that Chaisson is either. We all thought, at least I did, that he was Arden Key reincarnate after his freshman season. Then the injury struck. I just don't know yet how that knee's going to hold up. So as much as I like his upside, I don't know that I'm picking him either. Rashard Lawrence won't be my pick to click either. He is their best returning defensive lineman. But I'll tell you this, he's not their most important defensive lineman. That would be Tyler Shelvin. In fact, Tyler Shelvin might be the most important player in this year's defense, maybe overall on the team. With a strong two-down per series type of interior D lineman, LSU football could be an absolute juggernaut this season. They haven't had that guy in quite some time. Shelvin could represent that type of player, but Rashard Lawrence is the best returning D lineman. And yes, that leaves us with a couple of corners. Christian Fulton, only projected as a first-round pick. Certainly we'd have to consider him. There was a lot he put on tape last year that the scouts love and that LSU fans should love. The longevity hasn't necessarily been there for Fulton, maybe like a Grant Delpit, maybe like some of the players on the other side of the football. But Fulton's an absolute freak. He's going to come up 1A in this conversation for me. And that means I don't mind telling you that I think Derek Stingley Jr. may already be the second-best player in this LSU defense. I just feel that strongly about it. I do. Two interceptions in the team's opening scrimmage. Had a pick in the spring game. Stingley comes in, and I'll always revert when referring to him, to some of the things and the knowledge that Justin Vincent dropped. Justin and his family have close ties. I think there's actually some family relations there between Justin Vincent and the Stingley family. And he said, I've known him since he was little. The kid came up around not just football. He came up around greatness. But he was coached and he was mentored by a father not to get the big head about it. And so despite some of his other worldly abilities, and you saw how he tested and stuff like the Sparks testing, always kept a pretty level head. Despite anything that he could have done in terms of look at me, watch me, number one player in the country, he just never was that type of player. But the skills are still there. And he still reminds people of Patrick Peterson for a reason. And he's already the team's starting punt returner for a reason. So I know this question is who's the second best defender? And already I'm wrapping in the fact that dude's going to start off as the starting punt returner. I just can't help but think there's a chance for him to be a darn near all-SEC type of performer in year one. So that's what I'm going to do. My chips will be in the middle of the table there. I'm going to tell you I think it's Derek Stingley Jr. and right away. So we'll take your calls on the subject. 706-0111. Assuming Grant Delpit is LSU's best defender, not a reach, who is second in line? Clint gave Jacob Phillips. I gave you Derek Stingley Jr. Now we'll take some of your submissions. CD, while we wait for some of the calls, give us the latest for both Twitter and Facebook, our responses so far.
You know, looking at Twitter, obviously, I think one of the big surprises, I feel like Kobe Stevens or Christian Fulton from Brandon L. And then another one was Fulton, and that comes from our guy Brian B. Not much else in terms of social media interaction for this post, at least as of this time.
Fulton is a really, really good answer. Here's what I will throw out. He had the opportunity in a lot of ways to be the second CB last year behind Greedy Williams. Will he be asked to kind of step up and be the guy that travels? Do they just have two certified badasses that they leave? One is your left corner, one is your right corner. I'm interested to see, especially against some of the best passing competition LSU will face, how Dave Aranda and Corey Raymond choose to designate those assignments. Because let's be honest about one thing. Game one is Georgia Southern. Yeah, they may try to catch you napping with the pass, but you really better be keyed on the run. Game two against Texas. Maybe this will bite me in the tuchus here in about, I don't know, 3.5 weeks, but I don't have a ton of respect for Sam Ellinger, the passer. I just don't. Sam Ellinger reminds me of a stronger version of what early Matt Mauch was. Remember the Matt Mauch in 01 who filled in for Rohan Davey and basically ran the quarterback draw all over Tennessee in the SEC title game? That's what Ellinger's like to me. I'm just not that threatened by the arm. I know what makes him dangerous is because he can run. You stack the box and he can try and throw over the top of you. I just don't think that either of LSU's first two opponents represent big threats to LSU's cornerbacks. So I don't know how much we'll learn about the rotation, how much we'll learn about the way they're deployed. All those are things that I think you're going to have to wait until week three or later. But certainly Fulton is a great answer. And somebody threw in Jacoby Stevens. I'm given different classifications. We're talking best defender right now. I told you I thought Tyler Shelvin's the most important because of what he can mean if he shows up at a position where LSU hasn't exactly had the goods in recent years. Jacoby Stevens is the most versatile defender they've got. And if he's not careful, he might end up passing that baton to Marcel Brooks, because Brooks is going to be that guy, I think, by 2020. But there's a big opportunity, certainly for Stevens, formerly the number one safety in the country, to step into that quarter role and play all over the field on defense this year. All right, speaking of these corners and being on an island, I feel that over here at the Tap Room. Don't get me wrong, a lot of folks are here, but nobody jumping in on the question. That's cool. We'll take our final break of the hour. When we bounce back, we'll still have time for you. Otherwise, we're going to launch into some Billy Napier sound and give you the latest from Raging Cajuns camp. So stick with us. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back out to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Just classic Will Ferrell sound from Semi-Pro. Back into the Tap Room River Ranch. Quickly, I've got an update that LSU fans will love, and then we'll take our first phone call of the program. According to Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com, about 5 minutes ago, pretty fresh, Caleb LeVon Chaisson back out at practice for the first time during fall camp. So for those scoring at home, I mean, that's just about everybody, right, that was out to start or has been out since. Fulton, Delpit, Chaisson, Palmer, even after a little bit of an absence, Burrow, about the only one that's really gone down and hasn't returned and won't for a little while, I think, is Cardell Thomas. A few other offensive linemen, Damian Lewis, Chasen Hines, dealing with injuries, but this one's big. After missing almost all of last season, Caleb on Chaisson back out at practice today for the first time in August. All right, let's get out now to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Julio, thanks for waiting on that update. You want to answer our sink or swim question?
Hey, Ben, what's going on, man? Hey, I think for the best defender, I think you got to pick Chaisson. And the only reason why is just with the upside. I think he's just through the roof. I just think that as a player, he brings so much to the table that you did not have the previous year. Now, you can make a good comparable thing for maybe the most important. And the only reason why is he's probably the key to being elite versus being good. Because back in, was it 16 when Arden Key sophomore year? Was it 2016?
I believe was so. It?
Yeah. And whenever Arden Key had that, where he broke the sack record, I think 13 sacks, I think if he can have that kind of year, I think this team just takes another dimension, just takes another level. I just think he's most important, but also probably second best player behind David. I just really feel that he's something that was missing the past 2 years, definitely last year without a pass rush. And I think Stingley probably close to, because, man, he's going to get challenged quickly. Because ain't nobody throwing the full. They're going to Stingley.
I agree with you. That's a great call, and it's very well said. Let me respond to that. Thank you again, Julio. That's well done. On the importance of Chaisson, I told you I thought Tyler Shelvin may be the most important because they've been lacking there. And then he threw out Arden Key's, it was either 2015 or 16, but we all know what he's talking about. The season before Arden was kind of having to go get his stuff right. that next offseason, either 15 or 16. Clint will look it up. The guy was a freak. If Chaseau is, I don't know, 80% of that, yeah, I mean, Katie bar the door. It's going to be an absolute revolution in the way that Dave Aranda has to configure or gets to configure his defense. He won't have to do things. He'll have all kinds of options. Clint, before we run out of real estate in this hour, I did want to address the latest in Raging Cajuns camp and do a little bit of that with some sound from Billy Napier. Chauncey Manack, training better now and has done a great job for the Cajuns. I'll let Billy tell you a little bit more about a veteran player for Ron Roberts' defense.
I think it's across the board. It's probably more of a cumulative effect of all those things. I think he's been through his first significant year of playing time. So all those lessons he learned last year, probably motivated, you know, a little bit better, knowing, okay, hey, year two, I know I'm going to be have a big role on the team. I think he's bigger, stronger, leaner, certainly in better condition. He's practicing better. He's straining and pushing himself, getting out of his comfort zone. And, you know, Chauncey would be the first one to tell you. He's an inconsistent player. Probably didn't have the best practice habits last year. Kind of learned on the fly. But that's part of his journey, you know. And he's here, and he's done a really good job for us. And, you know, he's a guy, as time goes, if he plays the way that I think he's going to play, and he continues to practice at a high level, and his actions match his words, he could become a leader for us. You know, I think he's that type of player. So certainly he's a junior and, you know, maybe feels as if he's getting overlooked, you know. But the best test is going to be what type of film that he puts out there this year.
All right, let's keep it going with Billy Napier. Tried to get long-winded on me there, Billy. Come on now. I know it's year two, but let's keep it rolling, brother. Everybody excited about the opening game against Mississippi State in New Orleans. We'll keep it on defense. We'll keep it on the second level. Chris Moncrief turning some heads during camp, and he's starting to play the jack position. Here's Billy Napier on Chris Moncrief.
Chris Moncrief has moved into that jack position over there opposite of Chauncey. Chris has had a tremendous training camp. Showed some toughness the last couple of days just in terms of how he practices and goes about his business. And Joe is, you know, he's like your typical rookie. You know, and really that's what he is in our system. You know, he got it in practice last year. He's battling through, getting to know the defense, playing with more consistency. When he's on and he knows what to do and he's doing things at a really high rate, he could be a disruptive player. And certainly, you know, being an edge player, Chauncey appreciates having a couple good players opposite of him.
Now, Billy Napier has brought an interesting philosophy with timing of practice to Lafayette. It's continued this season, and I got to say I dig it. It's just smart. It's like the guy that's out there mowing the grass at like 7 or 7:30 p.m. while daylight's allowing it. This team, the Cajuns, continue to practice in the evening, and it's really helping them avoid the heat. This soundbite from Napier is on a different type of practice and one I don't know that he's all that fond of. You may have heard or seen that the Texas Longhorns are using a hypnotist for their football team. Napier was asked, would you do the same?
You know, that's interesting. I saw something about that earlier. And, you know, I think Minnesota, P.J. Fleck actually uses it on official visits. So it's been around for a while. But I've never been around it before. But certainly, if we got one in Lafayette somewhere, it'd be a heck of a time, I would imagine. So maybe that person should reach out to us. We'll see if we can pull that off.
Now hold on, that can't be factual. Please tell me that's not a fact, or maybe it's just pre-shade from our guy Billy Napier. P.J. Fleck, when he's at up in Minnesota, using hypnotists on official visits. That's got to be appreciated, right? The Golden Gophers had to get a player that UL maybe had a stamp on for 8 months, and all of a sudden he goes to Minnesota, and Billy says, well, the guy was hypnotized. That's the only, you will commit to the Golden Gophers. You will come to Minnesota. I got to look into that. That can't be true, but it is awfully funny from Billy Napier. All right, CD, let's wind this first hour down, as we always do, with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Voice. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Recuperated. And after the news I just shared with you, I think we can make a strong case. LSU's football team as a whole has kind of been recuperated, with the exception of Cardell Thomas, really. A lot of these guys that were missing extended time are back. They're veterans. They don't necessarily need the PT in practice, but now they're getting it. The mental reps, the physical ones, and the latest to rejoin the team, Kalavon Chaisson, today. Recuperated. The final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We're coming right back. Jordy Collada joins us for Baton Rouge at 5:05. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crone Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of three underway. Right back into the Tap Room River Ranch. You're dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. It has been too long since our next guest has been on the program. Hey, let's correct that mistake. Aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, Jordy Collada, host of Off the Bench, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and Alexandria. Jay Cool, how goes it today?
Ben Love, always good to be with you, man. Thanks for having me back.
Big news of the day, Kalavon Chaisson back out at practice. Look, I don't think anybody was too worried about his availability come August 31, but from everything you've seen and that you've heard, Jordy, your expectations for just how he's going to perform this year?
Well, I'll tell you what, man, he flew through the rehabilitation of that knee injury that he sustained last year in the opener versus Miami. And Ben, when you look at it, man, he really changed the whole dynamic of the defense when he left. I mean, you lost the only true pass rusher that you had, somebody from a individual standpoint, from a one-on-one standpoint, could get into the backfield and create some havoc for a passer. And, you know, LSU's identity really from the defense changed when he was out. So they've been very careful with him here in the early parts of fall camp. He had some LASIK surgery just over a month ago. I think there's some, you can't have any full contact within a month of that. So they've been making sure and keeping him out on that. And, you know, just the process of getting that knee right and feeling confident on it, because he physically looks like he looked a couple of years back, but now he's a little bit older. He's a little bit wiser, and coming off that knee injury, he looks like he's settling into 100%. So, I'm like you. Physically, I'm not worried about him. I hope they handle him the correct way here in camp and can keep his legs underneath him for the full 12 regular season games.
We'll stick with the revolving injury door. Kalavon Chaisson back in. Unfortunately, we learned yesterday that big Cardell Thomas is out. And your show reporting it's likely to be about a two-month absence with an ankle injury. Sucks for the young man, no question about it. But what does it mean for James Craig and his depth up front?
Yeah, look, I think that's where it hits you the most is the depth. And he was a quality depth player that they were developing here through camp. He missed some time early on. He had gotten banged around a little bit, but he got back on the field here. And by all accounts, he was really doing a good job of playing consistent every day. You know, he had gotten into his playbook and really knew what he was supposed to do mentally. And Ben, you know, the story of the offseason for him was all the weight that he had lost. So physically, he really looked the part. I hate it for him because he was the face of that class of 2019. He's still got a chance to make it back, possibly for the Auburn game on October 12th. But you know, you start asking a true freshman to rehab a surgically repaired limb and then try to get back mentally to SEC football. It may be too tough of a task to ask Cardell at this point. So, you know, you hate to lose his freshman season. But it looks like he could be a strong possibility for a red shirt now after losing him yesterday.
Continuing our talk with Jordy Collada, all in on LSU football. as we're live from the Tap Room River Ranch. Joe Burrow in year two as a starter, how will he be improved, and maybe the way that they use him? How do you expect that to be different in 2019, Jordy?
Well, look, just from a development standpoint, Ben, you know, I was talking to a room today, and you know, you think about this. A year ago, he was still competing for the job. He was still trying to settle into South Louisiana and figure out the culture and kind of, you know, even where to eat. He didn't know anybody in the locker room, and he was competing for the job. I mean, he still wasn't the starting quarterback. You fast forward a summer now here and really becoming the leader the way that he played in the second half of the season last year. You bring in a guy like Joe Brady, who he really has good chemistry with and understands what he's trying to do. You know, Joe Burrow is the leader of this team. You and I have been doing radio for a while now, and every offseason when we talk about expectation around LSU, we're always confident around the playmakers on the outside. They usually have a high-end pass rusher. They usually got an elite running back. They usually have a playmaker on both sides of the ball, a defensive back and wide receiver. But it's different this year because of Burrow, because of the quarterback, because of the confidence that they have with their guy under center. And I think he shares that confidence. You know, he went to the Manning Passing Academy over the summer, and everybody was there. Herbert from Oregon was there, Jake Fromm, Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, all the quarterbacks, all the high-end guys around college football were there. And Burrow was right there with him, step for step, making every throw. And I think different that they'll do with him this year, Ben, is they'll run him a little bit more because he's athletic. And I think this is twofold. They want to put the pressure on the defense and keep him honest and make them game plan for both Burrow, his feet and his arm, but they have confidence in their backup, in Miles Brennan. And not to say that, you know, that they want to lose Burrow, but if he goes down or if he needs a series or two off, they're okay with putting Brennan out there. And they know he's got to play some good football, and he's got to play and get some quality snaps to develop him for the future and make him a viable backup. But he's had a really good offseason too. So, you know, it's been a long time since you and I could say that LSU is confident at the quarterback spot, but they are. And they've got it set up to play down the line with a guy like Peter Parrish kind of waiting in the fold, going to wear a red shirt. You know, he shouldn't take a meaningful snap for another couple of years. And now finally you've got a system, a funnel at that spot that you can keep him groomed and keep him ready to go.
I want to switch gears a little bit. You guys have had great guests, you along with T-Bob Hebert. And I want you to share some of what you've learned, I guess. But the governor, John Bel Edwards, came on and discussed that $450 million renovation for the Superdome. Your takeaways from talking with John Bell?
Well, I love the relationship between the state and the franchise. You know, it's been so fruitful for both. And, you know, to make a commitment like that and upgrade that facility, which has become, you know, just a mainstay and a staple of the New Orleans skyline, you know, and keep the Saints here for 30-plus years, I think is very exciting for South Louisiana sports fans, or really sports fans all along the Gulf Coast who cheer on the black and gold. So we appreciated the governor stopping by and sharing that news with us. He was down at training camp earlier this week with the whole gang. You know, he took part in the quarterback challenge with Drew Brees and Brees' son, Baylen Brees, and he talked about those experiences. So it's good to see that office and that franchise have an open relationship that looks like it's going to go deep into the future. He was very complimentary of Miss Gale. You know, I mean, you know, Ben, you and I at first were fans first. That's the reason why we got into our trade, into our industry. And, you know, just from a fan standpoint of the New Orleans Saints, how can't you love what she's doing for South Louisiana professional franchises? I think quickly she's becoming one of the most powerful women in sports, and she's doing a great job of representing our area. And for the governor to talk a little bit about those backroom talks and how they got to the position where they were this morning on voting on that $450 million restoration to the Dome and kind of the phases on how that'll operate before the 2024 Super Bowl was pretty cool to hear yesterday on our airwaves. So we were very grateful for that.
I'm right there with you, Jordy, for sure, on Gale Benson. And let me give you an interesting base of comparison. I'll get your take. I just spent a couple weeks ago in Atlanta, and they moved what was Turner Field out to the burbs, man. And now they've got SunTrust Park out in Marietta. Hard to envision New Orleans ever not having Saints football right where the Dome is. It's great that they don't have to go out and build something new. It's great that they get to give a facelift to what's become a monument in this state.
I've always said I think championship games and and sports championships that travel their championship. New Orleans has to be a destination for them. I mean, just the ease of access from the city, from the dome, from the hotels, the restaurants, everything in walking distance, how cool the culture of the city is, the music, the food. It's built for this. It's absolutely built for this. So for the city and the state to embrace that, it makes a ton of sense. And, it's cool to see that happening.
All right, let's finish with your interview. Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon, joined the program. Right now we're talking with Jordy Collada on 103.7 The Game. What was that like watching T-Bob grill his dad?
Well, it's always cool to get those two together because they have – They've got a great way of communicating with each other. They get the best out of one another when you're talking about just kind of stories. And for Bobby to go deep into the vault and talk about training camp stories from when he was in Atlanta, when Buddy Ryan brought the Eagles down, and some of the stories that they had, the Tua days under Jim Mora down in Hammond, and then, you know, getting his analysis on this team. I mean, he's fantastic as far as a guy that can break down the game. Very, very smart, and talking about where New Orleans was always cool to hear from the Cannon. And, you know, this Saints team truly is all in on Super Bowl or bust. And they've had just devastating finishes to the last couple of years on how they finished the regular they finished the playoff run. And, you know, it's Bobby breaking down what the pressure is on some of these veterans this season. And it's interesting to think about, man, when you think how, you know, the miracle in Minnesota, the no call on the NFC championship. And here we go again for another year with Breeze and Peyton trying to make a run at this thing. It's going to be a hell of a ride.
Know how busy you are, Jordy. Thanks again for the time, and look, continued success to you and T-Bob. Keep it rolling over there.
Same to you, Ben. Congratulations on the award this season. You got a great show and deserve to be recognized. And I appreciate you always having me back on.
There you go. Jordy Collada off the bench, ESPN Radio. And those guys are taking over. Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria. Great to have him on this side of the basin. And the opportunity to speak with the governor on something like a Superdome renovation. Say what you want about his politics. I know it's a reelection year, but that's pretty cool when it comes to sports in this state. And nobody getting to experience some of the things, I guess, at the level that John Bel Edwards is, like him, right? Saints camp, LSU camp. Hey, just go ahead and cherry pick it, baby. Wherever you can get in, if you're a sports fan and you have that position, just make sure you fit it in. And he certainly is. I did listen to most of the interview. I was in my car. I was listening. I got to where I was going, so I didn't quite finish it with the Cajun Cannon. That was a lot of fun. So, yeah, he's right. Getting T-Bob Hebert, Bobby Hebert, same place, same time. That's a good idea for radio or probably just anywhere that beers are sold, kind of like where I'm at right now. The Tap Room River Ranch, they've got live music. Don't forget, I'm done at 7. Corey Lynn Landry, huge fan of the show. And our station, 103.7 The Game. Corey Lynn will be playing live from 8 until 11. Again, there's no cover charge. You just come and you start your weekend a little bit early with us. We'll take our first break of the hour. When we return, let's throw some shade. Poor Antonio Brown, he just can't get out from under it. We'll discuss, and then we've got Jeremy Holy talking the 2019 Raging Games. Coming up at Blackham Coliseum, Jeremy will be with us in about 16 or 17 minutes. So don't go anywhere. More Bumper to Bumper Sports coming at you on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 1037thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 1037 The Game.
Right back out to the Taproom River Ranch. And the August of AB just won't leave us the hell alone. I wish it would see its way the heck out of here, but if only. What am I talking about? I'll explain it all, I promise. I had already intended. CD knows this. He could back it up. I emailed him early this morning. I already intended to discuss Antonio Brown, new Oakland Raiders wide receiver, the latest surrounding him in the news? And, well, he just won't leave anybody alone, right? At first it was cryogenically freezing his foot into just horrific blisters. Then it was not going to play without my helmet, filing a grievance against the NFL and losing it. Then there's the thing I'm about to discuss with you. Now the man literally is on the TV screen as I look up here at the Tap Room River Ranch. And they got a bunch of TVs surrounding me. But one of them is getting ready for the Oakland-Arizona preseason game tonight. And there's Antonio Brown, right as I plan to talk about him, walking not quite arm in arm, but at arm's length, certainly, with his head coach, John Gruden. So he is in the building in Arizona. He has resumed practicing with the Raiders, but he will not play and make his preseason debut tonight in the Valley of the Sun. Still, the latest episode surrounding him, it's worth our time. So before we get to it, let me issue my daily reminder to you that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Be sure to go to their website, will you? PatioCenter.com. You're going to fall in love with the customized patio covers with the cypress accents, the standing seam, metal awnings, and, of course, the retractable shades and screens. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. And what a beautiful thing that is in the year 2019. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game. They can do it before New Year's. They can certainly do it before the Saints go marching in to the Super Bowl. And all of it starts with a quick trip to their website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
The latest in the mini drama that is Antonio Brown becoming an Oakland Raider. Apparently, when he was still a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers and going to yet another Pro Bowl, apparently and allegedly, he didn't pay his bill for his chef. And wait till I tell you how much it is. Poor AB, it just can't get right. He's currently being sued by Stefano Tedici, also known as the Sports Chef. Tedici suing the Raiders wideout for almost $39,000. Consider what I just said. Nearly 40 large. And that is for a bill that Brown ran up at the Pro Bowl. Just blows my mind. I mean, you and I talk about per diem. We're talking about, I don't know what, $20, $50 a day, depending on how many meals that's got to stretch and cover. Almost 40 G's Antonio Brown required from the sports chef, Stefano, Tedici. So, again, it's America. Anybody could sue anyone. Doesn't mean that it's going to be, I guess, ruled against AB. But, man, it just can't stop raining on this guy. And I can't help but thinking that he's bringing at least some of it upon himself. Froze his foot into blisters, wanted a certain helmet, can't have it. And now he's being sued by the sports chef for an eat and run. This is like the Pro Bowler, big timers version of ducking out in the bathroom at a restaurant, going in and just sneaking out on the tab. He basically did that at the Pro Bowl, or at least that's what he's being accused of. Sooner than later, I'm sure that John Gruden isn't the only one that just wants to see this guy shut up and play some football.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Just keeps getting weirder for that cat. And who's looking like the smartest person in the proverbial NFL poker room right now? Mike Tomlin? The Rooney family? I mean, they're going to push their chips in the middle of the table on Juju Smith-Schuster. And I think that's looking like a pretty good move right about now. A few minutes left in this segment. I mention the Raiders-Cardinals preseason game. Quickly, let me go over what you got tonight. We begin preseason week two. I don't count that week zero matchup between the Broncos and Falcons and Canton. This is really week two of the preseason. Five games on the slate tonight. Philly at Jacksonville. 6 p.m. kick, and it should be the Wentz versus Foles battle. But I'm not sure either is going to play in what amounts to a fairly meaningless second preseason game. But this will match up Foles against his old team, the Eagles, who he led to a Super Bowl. Your second game tonight, 6:30 kick, Cincy at Washington. Dwayne Haskins, the rookie out of Ohio State, looking to bounce back for the Skins. He was 8 of 14 for 117 yards last Thursday. That's not bad. The two interceptions were. Third game tonight, the Jets at the Falcons. Ton of starters out for the New York football Jets. Your fourth game tonight, also a 6:30 Central kick. Green Bay at Baltimore. Don't expect to see Aaron Rodgers. Don't expect to see Lamar Jackson. The fifth and final game on the docket for a Thursday night. I've already teased it for you. Oakland at Arizona. That one, a 7 p.m. kickoff. And while I've talked on AB and some of the Hard Knocks illustrated drama for the Raiders, let's quickly look at the Arizona side of things. Pretty darn good debut for Kyler Murray. Completed all but one pass a week ago. And so the first overall pick and Heisman Trophy winner out of Boomer Sooner country, he's got another opportunity tonight. And he'll be doing it against an Oakland defense that, well, it doesn't exactly have much in the way of teeth. If you watched, like I did, the first and second weeks of Hard Knocks, Oakland got jerked around a good bit, as a lot of people will, by Sean McVay and the L.A. Rams over this past week. All right, we're coming up on our second break of the hour. Don't forget, in about 5 minutes, we're going to have Jeremy Holy talking about the 2019 Raging Games coming to Blackham Coliseum a week from this Saturday. They had a record-breaking year in 2018. What are they doing to up the stakes and up their game in 2019? We'll discuss that again coming your way in 5 minutes. Jeremy Holy of the Raging Games. And then after that, Blaine Viator. Straight up 6 o'clock, we're going to talk some prep football. Specifically, the Rain Wolves, Church Point, Ascension Episcopal, and the tastiest matchups in the Week 1 high school football season. So a lot still on tap, and we'll be right back out to the Tap Room River Ranch. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Right back into the Taproom River Ranch, 34 minutes after 5 o'clock, and this place starting to come unglued a little bit. Great crowd here, and we got a great guest. I believe it'll be our third straight year. My privilege to be joined by Jeremy Holy with the 2019 Raging Cajun Games, and they keep getting better and better every year, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on. I love coming out here, spend a couple hours with you guys.
And I mentioned that you got an opportunity to build on a great event and one that last year was record-breaking. Nearly 350 athletes registered. That's a heck of a feat, man.
Yeah, man, it's grown, you know, every year, especially since the first year we started back at Raging CrossFit, which is the gym that I own out here in Lafayette, Louisiana. You know, we started out 60 athletes, I think we did it at our gym, 4,000 or 5,000 square foot facility, and I had no clue it was going to be that big the first year. So then we kind of moved it over to the top shelf here in Youngsville, Broussard area. And we outgrew that pretty quick, and now we're at the Blackham. We've been there for the past 5 years, and it's a great venue. It works out awesome for us, and it's just grown beyond what we ever thought it would.
And so it's not just the people that are competing. We'll talk shortly about the people that get to spectate and enjoy the heck out of that. But you also added the pro division last year. Tell our listeners a little bit about that and maybe how that helps to continue to further classify people where they belong and give other opportunities.
Yeah, so last year we added the pro division. It worked out real well. We had some guys and girls come that have been, you know, they've competed on the regional level and even at the CrossFit Games, which is what you kind of see on ESPN. Those, you know, people working hard, carrying sandbags, riding bikes, doing all that cool stuff. So, yeah, we had some of those guys and girls show up, and we gave out a pretty big cash prize. I think we gave out $2,000 for first place. So that really helped. And this year what we decided to actually do is combine those two heats back together, the RX and the Pro Division, but we're going to be paying out five spots instead of three.
Excellent. Our guest, Jeremy Holy, we're live from the Tap Room River Ranch, and what we're previewing, the 2019 Raging Cajun Games, the ninth annual, I do believe, and it's coming up a week from Saturday, August the 24th at Blackham Coliseum. So a little bit more about this year's event, how you continue to grow it. You already gave us a little bit of mix in the RX and the Pro, but what else should fans expect?
So we actually are giving away an award this year that's pretty cool called the Hero Award. So that kind of brings me to my sponsors. You know, we have Courtesy Buick, GMC Lafayette stepping up this year as a title sponsor for us. And a few of our platinum sponsors, we got Smoothie King, Quest Pediatric Dentistry, Good Eats Kitchen, Cadiana Pain and Performance, which they offer the Hero Program, and then the Army National Guard. So our Hero Program is promoted by Acadiana Pain and Performance, and we're basically getting people to nominate someone who has overcome some type of adversity and, you know, that is making it out to the competition floor. Maybe they battled an injury or an illness. You know, we got a couple of nominees so far from a lady that's legally blind.
Wow.
She actually comes to the gym with me, and she signed up for the Raging Games, and she can't see the clock. You know, she has trouble seeing the whiteboard, but she's going to go out there and compete. And, you know, that's really something special that we're going to get to witness this year, along with a lot of fit individuals all the way from teenagers to Masters Division, which we got a couple guys that competed at the games as well doing that.
So every year, and look, you can go to the website. I've seen all the different pictures of the winners that are standing up there. They've got their big check. They're on like that first, second, and third Olympic-style leaderboard. But give me some idea of what amazes you about these athletes, not just the effort, but the types of things that these men and women accomplish.
Yeah, so, you know, the Raging Games have always been about community, you know, because that's what we base our gym on. So I kind of wanted to do the same thing with the competition we put on, and I've seen families come out there, sons with their fathers, even sons with their mothers, and they're competing, they're doing the same workouts, just different divisions. So for me to see that, and then you look in the stands and you see their entire family cheering them on, you know, I'm a dad now the past four and a half, five years. I have three little girls. And, you know, family's super important to me. And to see that aspect of the competition, man, is just pretty awesome to see that I started something, we started something like that.
So there's an opportunity, obviously, for mother, son, you know, mother, daughter, father, son, father, daughters to compete. But make sure our listeners know how they can come and spectate. Again, this event is a week from Saturday the 24th at Blackham Coliseum. Give them the time and where they can go find tickets in advance.
Okay, so the doors are going to open at 6 a.m. That's when our athletes are starting to show up. You know, so you can buy spectator tickets at the door. They're $20 at the door, but you can also go to RagingGames.com right now up until Wednesday, August 21st, and you can purchase tickets online for $15 at a discounted rate.
And if I remember correctly, we did this last year. They come, and that's an all-day pass. I mean, tell them what they get for that 15, especially if they go to RagingGames.com.
Yeah, so this year we've added a lot of cool stuff. You know, my buddy Chris Feldman over at Feldman Orthodontics, he decided to sponsor a rock wall this year. So we have a rock wall out there. We got face painting for the kids. You can leave and come back if you'd like, as long as you have your stamp. And there's just a ton of vendors that are going to be coming out from all over the South. Clothing, you know, we're going to our food vendors are going to be selling a lot of really delicious food. And you're just going to see some people push past their limits, and it's pretty amazing to watch. It's inspiring if you're looking to get back into the gym or looking for something to inspire you. I definitely think coming out to the Raging Games is a good idea to kind of spark that fire, you know? And we're right down the road from the Blackham at Raging CrossFit, 815 Cajun Dome Boulevard.
And certainly you guys and gals know what you're doing with the timing. It's the 24th. The week after, college football starts. The Cajuns will be in New Orleans taking on Mississippi State. LSU will be at home. The week after that, the Cajuns are back at home, so you guys get to really rule campus one last weekend before football.
Yeah, man, we're at the mercy of the UL football schedule when we're planning this thing. You know, when there's a home game, it's off limits, so it works out good for us. All of our UL fans, which we have a bunch of those that participate, they get to watch the game on TV, and then they get to come back the next weekend or whenever the next home game is. So yeah, August 24th, doors open at 6. Competition starts at 8. Last till about 5. Everybody's going to compete in 3 workouts, and then we're going to have our top 10 guys and girls move over to the final. And the final is always something really cool that we like to put together, you know, because we're giving away that big check at the end. So got to make them work for it, you know.
Such a cool thing. And for everyone listening, you've watched the CrossFit Games on the mothership. Come watch it locally. The 2019 Raging Games, it's the 9th annual event. It's coming Saturday, August 24th, the Blackham Coliseum. Doors open at 6 a.m. Competition starts at 8. $20 at the door. But a pro tip, go to the website now, RagingGames.com. Save $5. You'll get in for only $15. Jeremy, thanks for doing this. With any luck, you and I will be doing this next year. We'll talk about the fact that you had 400 athletes that competed in 2019.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the time, buddy.
All right, we got to hit our final break of the hour. We're coming right back in. We'll talk some Saints and then an NFL-wide look. High school football fans, don't forget Blaine Viator at straight up 6 o'clock. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back out to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Back with more B2BS and back out to the Tap Room River Ranch. They got a lot going on tonight. Had a lot of fun there with Jeremy Holy talking the 2019 Raging Games. They got a bit of a rager going on right now here at the Tap Room. And it's a confluence of just awesome stuff. I mean, people coming out and starting the weekend early, just regular Joes and Janes, maybe like me and you. They have a professional organization that is here celebrating their life a little bit on a Thursday. And I'm told that very soon St. Arnold is here, their distributors, and they're about to set up a putt and win type of contest. So I've never seen this before at the Tap Room, but yeah, I'm all in. If they're going to actually roll out a little synthetic green here inside of the bar, and then you could putt to win a beer, I'm here for that. So if that sounds like something that you would be interested in, you should come here and be in for that as well. Don't forget, Clint and I are here until 7. We'll have Blaine Viator aboard to talk high school football in exactly 11 minutes. And then Corey Lynn Landry is playing music 8 until 11. All right, let's launch in a little bit of Saints talk and go in on the NFL. We got time for your calls as well. 706-0111. React to anything you've heard, or let's talk a little bit of the NFL together. 5 games tonight. Eagles, Jags, Jets, Falcons, Packers, Ravens, Bengals, Redskins, and then Oakland versus Arizona. You'll have 3 more on Friday, and the remainder Saturday, Sunday. They've even got Monday Night Football coming up. Can't imagine that's going to be a big draw, but they're doing it. The Saints, they slot in on Sunday, 3 p.m. Central Time is your kick on the West Coast. New Orleans at the L.A. Chargers. This was a wild affair the last time these two teams played, but it was a long time ago. The Saints won a memorable matchup, 35-34 back in 2016, way back when they were still the San Diego Superchargers. So, yeah, it's been a little while. And yet we know these two teams get together every single preseason. What's the synergy? Don't know. But you would have to think that somewhere along the line it's Anthony Lynn along with Sean Payton. But these two like to go up against one another. And it always feels like this time every August where I tell you that these big-bodied wideouts, especially Keenan Allen for the Chargers, are just roasting the Saints secondary. Haven't quite seen the tweets of that effect. Haven't seen a lot of the videos toward that end either. But this is a good matchup for the Saints secondary. Why? Because Phillip Rivers will test you. I mean, he is one of the ultimate sultans of the checkdown in the modern era. He's got a number of backs that can do it, even with Melvin Gordon holding out. He's had an all-millennium type of tight end for forever in Antonio Gates, but now they got a new one that's up and coming in Hunter Henry. The wideouts that I mentioned, led by Keenan Allen this entire week, culminating in the game Sunday afternoon. Great opportunity for that Saints secondary to show something. Dennis Allen's group in the back didn't look great, and that's an understatement. When they took on the Minnesota Vikings, they gave up a boatload of points, but still, I'm going to be Saban-esque in my description here. It's more about the process than the result when you're dealing in the postseason, and you just don't like your guys to look lost. You don't like some of the guys that maybe are earmarked for playing time, even if they're rotational or platoon players. You just don't want to see those guys looking bad, whether it's on an island, with their assignments. Not exactly inspiring confidence at this time of year. So when so many analysts, and I'm talking about tried and true broadcasters, prognosticators, when so many people from New Orleans have come on this show over the last 3 to 4 weeks and said, the secondary is the strength of this team. The cornerbacks are as good as the Saints have had in who knows how long. And then they do something like that. Okay, you just want to take a deep breath and exhale a little bit. Hopefully everybody gets that taste out of their mouth and the Saints show something a little different on tape against the L.A. Chargers. And for what it's worth, we went down this road with Ruff and Rodriguez when we were talking preseason betting lines. Saints were favored against the Vikes. We know that they lost that game by 9. Saints are 3-point dogs. So how do you like Teddy Bridgewater on the road? That's one of the things that you're going to have to contemplate. Looking around the rest of the NFL slate in the second preseason week, I told you we had Monday Night Football. A couple of teams that nobody probably expects to contend necessarily. The 49ers at the Broncos Monday night. I have told you that I think that's going to be the team that maybe takes the biggest leap wins-wise this year from last year. Now, they were abysmal in 2018, but I kind of like San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo healthy. I know that there's a video of him throwing all kinds of picks in practice yesterday, but still kind of like Jimmy G. And still really like that team to be better than last year. I've given you Jacksonville as well. We know the Jags are at home tonight against the Eagles. So we're going to start to learn more about these teams. And for those like me who are getting knee-deep in fantasy preparation, this is really the time where you learn a lot. So, Clint, I wanted to carve out about a minute and a half, and I've done exactly that. Give me some of the Cliff's Notes, some of the most fun parts, some of the biggest fantasy football nuggets, and I guess what you took away from the Under the Dome draft last night out of Twin Peaks on Johnston.
One of the biggest takeaways that I had was everybody was just definitely into it and really just getting ready. And, you know, this is something I talked about with some of the listeners, some of the loyal members of the Under the Dome Fantasy League. This is a perfect opportunity to kind of get prepped up for other leagues you're going to be part of, because undoubtedly, like, a lot of the listeners in the area are going to be part of several fantasy leagues. So the Under the Dome Fantasy League is a lot like, and I'm gonna be nerdy here for a second, it'd be like an ACT prep test, basically, is what I'm thinking about it from my perspective. Other kind of nuggets I took away from it, Ben, I got to say, I was surprised to see not as much New Orleans Saints flavor in this draft. I was surprised seeing a lot more actual logical picks, not as much, oh, hey, let's go ahead and get the homer pick out of the way, number one pick being an Alvin Kamara or what have you. But definitely a lot of interesting things to take away from this draft.
All right, so not as much Saints reaching and overreaction. That's probably a good thing on most people's parts. Anything else interesting to you in the first round? And full disclosure, I haven't seen the first round of your draft. So typically the way it goes, if you mock it up, and your boy is, usually the first five picks are running backs. Somewhere around 5, 6, or 7, it's going to be Nuke Hopkins. Then you get a little bit of a run on wideouts. Was that about the order of it for you guys last night?
That's about kind of how things went outside of my number two went Pat Mahomes. Mind you, there was a little bit of incentive for that, if you will, for that one. But outside that, everything else relatively went about what you'd expect from your first like few rounds. Obviously, some surprise in there. Like Vernon Davis, I think the guy who picked ninth, Larry, he reached just a little bit there.
In what round, relatively speaking?
Second round.
You got to be kidding me.
I'm not
Vernon
joking.
Vernon Davis
dude.
Was a second round fantasy football pick in
yes.
your draft. So
I think this guy might have imbibed a little bit.
The next time you do that ACT prep draft that you had, invite me. Let me carve it up like a Ginsu knife. That would be fantastic. All right, we are 2 hours in. We've got one more to go. Blaine Viator. We're really going to hone in on three programs and their 2019 season preview. Did the same thing last week. All eyes this week on Rain, Ascension Episcopal, and the Church Point Bears, who got off to a tremendous start last year. Then they really got to the brunt of what was a brutal 5-3A schedule last year. And we'll look at the top week one matchups in the area and around the state as well. We love high school football. We know you do, too. You don't want to miss what's coming next. We'll be right back in to a madhouse. It's the Taproom River Ranch. They're getting ready for a putt-off to win beers. It's exactly what you want, and we'll be a part of it. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Ready to rock into a place that's doing plenty of it. Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Taproom River Ranch and only on 103.7 The Game. The famous Clint D, he gets mentioned first. How the hell did that just happen? He's inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. I am Ben Love, and I'm joined by Blaine Viator. It's time to talk some high school football. No finer place to talk about 14 to 18-year-old student-athletes than at a bar and people having a hell of a time on a Thursday.
A hell of a time. That's an understatement. This place is jam-packed. About as packed as it's been in the last few, you know, about a month and a half or so, ever since I've been coming recently. I mean, it's just jammed up over here. I mean, it might be rainy outside, but it's sure bright in here.
Can you picture what they keep telling me is about to happen? They're going to roll out a little turf strip, and people are going to putt to win beers?
I'm envisioning it, and I want to get in on the action, man. If I could get one of those tasty St. Arnold, lawnmowers or whatever they call it, I think I'm all in for that one.
All right, so we got about 25 minutes with you on the air. Hopefully they don't start the putting contest between now and then. One thing we do know, let's see here. I'll consult my handy calendar. We are a week, 8 days away from a lot of the team's scrimmages. We are almost 2 weeks removed from the Jamboree. In fact, we are 2 weeks exactly removed from the Kiwanis Jamboree and a number of others in the area. And that means that we are 3 weeks and a day from week one. I mean, these teams, they know it's coming. It's almost here.
Oh, yeah, they're honing in right now trying to get – you know, the last few pieces ready. Like you mentioned, though, these next 2 weeks are just so critical for these teams and their self-evaluation. You know, they're going to go in this scrimmage and really learn a lot of themselves and situational drills. And then when you can lay it all on the line and underneath the bright lights of a lot of these jamborees against another squad and not have the situations put in front of you but create them, it's going to be a different feel. And you'll see a lot of the young guys getting a taste for the first time, and it'll kind of really separate the men from the boys before you strap them up the following Friday night.
All right, you had a good idea prior to last week's show. We're just going to start putting teams in, right, picking them out of a hat and previewing seasons. Last week we hit three. This week let's do the same, and we'll kind of move up the ladder. So we'll start at the lowest classification. We're going to get into Rain and Church Point, but I do want to start with the Ascension Episcopal Blue Gators. I believe this is year three now. At the 2A level, they've been an awfully tough district. Tell us about Coach Desimo and Ascension Episcopal.
Well, I mean, Coach Desimo's just been nothing but brilliant, right? 30-7 as a head coach. Is this the year they could get over the hump, though? They've been having a hard time getting into the elite status of that Division III. Last year, finishing number 7 in the state, going 8-2. There are 2 losses. One was to Division III state runner-up, Catholic High and U-Iberia, and the other was to a Berwick team that made the playoffs, a very high-scoring team from Class 3A. The schedule, again, this year is very manageable. They get Catholic High and U-Iberia home on October 4th, and they also get the explosive Catholic of Point Capi team at home as well in September. That's a team that you beat in a shootout on the road last year. The one game, though, that outside of those two that maybe kind of might catch you off guard is that Lorville team that we talked about last week. That's going to be a very improved team from last year. I wouldn't take those guys lightly. There's no reason, just looking at the schedule, though, Ben, that this isn't a team that could probably go 9-1 or 8-2 and go deep into the playoffs and probably be seated in that 5-8 range once again. It's a potent offense. You know you're going to get that when you see the Blue Gators. They return their starting quarterback, who's actually been the starting quarterback since he's a freshman, in Cole Seymour. He was all-district performer a year ago, throwing for over 2,000 yards and 14 touchdowns. He returns for his junior campaign this year, and he hopes to have another stellar performance. He lost a couple wide receivers, but he gets back an offensive line, 4 of the 5, and that's going to be anchored by Clay Oncelet. I mean, that young man stands at 6'4", 265 pounds, just a tremendous athlete, great in pass protection. He's a 3-star already in the class of 2021. Louisiana Tech, SMU, and the Cajuns are all in contact there. I expect him to start piling in the offers as this year goes on and he moves into camp season next summer. On defense, Jamie Cordova, the all-district safety, returns, and they have much more veteran defense this year. A year ago, they kind of struggled a little bit in the games they lost to Catholic and U-Iberia in the playoffs as well. They gave up a ton of points in their losses. They look to have a much stronger physical defense, and is going to be led by Jamie Cordova. He just has a nose for the football. He's great in the box. He's joined in the defensive backfield by Andrew Stolzenhalter. That's a great name. I had to, man. Okay. He's a safety. They go 6'1", 190. They like him to be more of a center fielder. He goes and gets the football. Had 4 picks a year ago. Played with an injury all year, though. Expect much better from him. I really think this is going to be a tough team, Ben, especially in that district. They shouldn't have any trouble in there. Can they just get to that next level that they've been so close to doing?
The problem is none of those other teams in the Division III playoffs are really going to get worse, except for maybe one of those potential juggernauts. Let me run that down right now. You mentioned they're going to be in the same bracket as Notre Dame, Catholic New Iberia, those two teams that played in the Dome for the last 2 titles in that division. Then there's Metairie Country Day. With Justin Ibieta, they ain't getting worse. There's only one team in that bracket.
That's who actually knocked them out of the playoffs last year.
I know.
And they gave a ton of points up to them.
Who's the one team that actually was a heavy hitter in that division that will get worse? That's exactly right. And they're still going to be good with Neil Weiner.
Don't get me wrong, but Elias Rix's brother is going to be playing over there. The LSU commit out of California, family relocating to Louisiana. The younger brother, he's a stud too, and he'll be looking to follow in Derek Stingley's footsteps.
It's just such a tough bracket. And so what I would tell you, in my opinion, I think that getting to the semifinals becomes an enormous accomplishment for this team. And to your point, that's taking the next step. All right, we got to move to our next school before we hit our first break of hour number 3. We'll keep moving up the ladder. How about those Church Point Bears? They were your sleeper team after a couple of weeks last year. They were on fire for a while.
I don't know if they're going to sleep so much this year, Ben. I think they got all the pieces to make it as far or even further next year. Last year they had a great season, though, as you mentioned. Won their first 5 games of the year, including wins over Kaplan and Eunice in back-to-back weeks. I mean, that's a Kaplan team that went to the semifinals, and a Eunice team that was a state champion.
That was a state semifinal matchup in Class 3A, and they beat both of those teams.
So, look, the injury and turnover bug kind of cost them, and then they dropped 3 straight. But that was all to playoff teams, including a 12-15 loss to number 1 seed Iota. They were good enough to finish number 13 in the power points after finishing 7-3. Then they beat a very athletic West Feliciana team that some people had them, picked to upset Church Point. They won that game 28-6 in the first round before they fell to Sterlington, who made it to the Dome and lost to Eunice, by the way, in a classic. It was 56-57, back-and-forth overtime thriller. They could have went either way. And look, if Church Point would have won that game, I mean, they very well could have been in the Superdome as well. The district, not as tough this year. They lose Crowley, Eunice. The pre-district, though, you know, still tough. They're going to play Notre Dame and Kaplan on the schedule, but both of those games are at home. They also get district juggernaut Iota at home. I love the Church Point Bears schedule this year. The offense should be very good and explosive this year in 2019. They returned two rushers who had 1,000 yards last year with Rodney Dupuy and Gavin Richard. Dupuy's been a stud, Ben, his entire career. He's really short. He's like a little bowling ball, 5'8", 210 pounds. The young man's has around 4,500 yards in his career. He's very close to breaking their all-time leading school rushing record.
A local Dylan Monette in his area.
Led by Tony Citizen, and folks in the area know that name. He was an absolute stud as well. The defense, though, a little bit on the young side. They do return two key pieces that should help kind of bridge that gap, though, for the young guys. Dylan Stelly, an all-district linebacker a year ago. He's going to get some run at quarterback this year, but this guy makes his mark on defense. Dude flies around the field making plays, has a high football IQ. Look for him to have a big year. And then Tony Gibson. He's another guy that's going to come back on the D-line, kind of anchor the D-line. He was a second-team All-Stater last year. Big, strong, explosive, only a junior. I think at 6'2", 285, room to grow, he's probably going to get college looks in the future. John Arsenault, the coach there, look, he's had a strong program. And believe it or not, this is one of the strongest programs in the area recently. If you look back, they have two 10-win seasons in the last 5 years, two 8-win seasons to go along with that. Threw in one clunker, but look, this season, this schedule, with what they got coming back, it kind of strong run right now for the Church Point Bears.
Strong analysis because of strong research. Blaine bringing it. We've gone there on Ascension Episcopal. You just heard Church Point. Here's what we'll do. Halfway point of our interview, quarter poll of the hour, we'll take a quick recess. Huddle up. When we return, we're going to talk about the Rain Wolves. They've got a new head coach in Kane Guidry. Blaine, he sat in that exact chair that you're in maybe 2 months ago, 3 months ago, right after he got hired and spoke with us here at the Taproom River Ranch. So you and I will talk about his program and then the tastiest week one matchups from around the area and the state. High school football fans, this is your haven. Don't go anywhere. Bumper to Bumper Sports coming right back on 103.7 The Game.
You're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
I was going to listen to that
I
song.
I thought you were going to go one, two, three. I didn't know what was going to happen.
I did that one time. When Clint played this coming in, I did that one time and realized I just don't think I have the right accreditation or qualifications for that.
Totally understandable. I think only one person's really qualified to.
That's right. That's right. You can have a good voice.
You ain't doesn't no mean dog, man.
Doesn't mean that you need to sing, nor should you rap. But we're going to rap a little more on high school football, hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch. Finally, they have rolled out the putter ball mat. And so I'm looking forward to getting through with this segment and see if we can win a beer or two with our putting skills. But people do know one thing we have some skills at least we think, is talking high school sports in the area. You just went in depth on Ascension Episcopal, then Church Point. Now let's talk Rain Wolves football. New head coach, is there going to be a new look for this program?
Well, Coach Ware is out. Coach Kane Guidry, as you mentioned, the Rain alum, he's in there. Guidry was a former Rain quarterback in the early 2000s. He coached under Ware at Rain before leaving to go learn under the great Louis Cook over at Notre Dame. He's looking to change the culture of the program. I'm not really sure what that offense is going to look like. Ben, we know that we've seen that almost that wing T triple option veer look from Coach Ware. I think you're going to see a little bit more of a traditional offense under Coach Guidry. You're still going to have a little bit of the option touch on that. But Rain, they had a rough year last year. They finished number 31 seed in class floor playoffs. They snuck in there at 31, too. It was rough. 3-7 season. One of those wins came via a forfeit to Welsh. They opened the season last year with Welsh, Lake Charles College Prep, Eunice, Leesville, four of their last five. Look, that's a Lake Charles College Prep team that went 9-1, a Leesville team that went 10-0, and a Eunice team that was a state champion, all before you went to that 4-4A gauntlet that you had last year. The good news, though, schedule is easier this year. Your district's easier.
Changing classifications.
Yeah. You know, you're going to that 3A.
I mean, this was – we all knew this was one of the smallest 4A teams in the state
by
enrollment.
Right. So you do change your district and your classification, and you're going to add Eunice. You know, still a tough opponent, but the non-district is still pretty tough. You're going to have Welsh, Dutchtown, LCA, all on the non-district slate. It's much more manageable schedule than last year.
I didn't know Rain played LCA this year.
I believe so.
Every time I look at that LCA schedule, there's somebody else on it I didn't realize. Westgate, Evangel, Notre Dame. Here we go. For Welsh.
You know, it's still a tough schedule. It's just a little bit more manageable dropping down to 3A and not being in that Class 4, 4A gauntlet. They do return their quarterback, Colin Lacombe. He'll be back in the backfield with Jamarcus Monroe, who's a tremendous athlete. Plays some linebacker as well, but, you know, he's more of a running back. They expect big year from him. Brandon Aguilar is going to give him some size up front on the line of scrimmage. Then you got a guy who's kind of a wild card for me. You know, last year they had a guy, I texted you about him today, Darian Richard. He was an absolute freak for Rain last year. He played quarterback, tight end, running back, defensive end, safety, linebacker. He pretty much did everything. He was their holder, punter, whatever you needed him to do.
I'll put a pin in that briefly. He was one of our 103.7 The Game student athletes of the month from the spring, and I do believe he's going to be – I don't think he's on scholarship, but I believe he's going to be considered a preferred walk-on at linebacker if memory serves for Southeastern. So he will be playing college ball.
And the young man deserves it. And I mentioned he did all of that. He didn't just do it. He did it well. So they lose him, but they got a guy. Baylen Leon's going to take over that role. Look, I'm not saying he's going to be what Darian Richard was.
Or Trent Winbush the year before.
Well, he's not going to play quarterback, or he's not going to play running back for that matter. But he's going to be a defensive end, linebacker, tight end type. He can make plays out of the passing game and stretch the field, and he can get after the quarterback. He's a good athlete, only a junior. Look for him to fill some of that void and take some of that out. I just think it's going to be interesting to see the offense. Do they scrap that wing tee altogether or keep some of that look? But I think this is a Rain team that could have some success. I don't know if they, you know, go back to that semifinal team that they had a couple years back when Trent Winbush and company were there and running all over the place. They had a Harmon kid, too, on that team that was real good. But I think they take a step in the right direction. I think the excitement that Kane Gidry is going to just kind of rejuvenate in this program and get the community support involved. Rain's a great community. You know, we talked to some people over there prior to the Karen Crow matchup a few years back, and just the community support that they have, I think it's going to get only better with a local like Kane Gidry, whose family's just entrenched into that community, and that program is going to get a little bit of life breathed into them that they need.
Completely agree. And you're right. Rain, LCA, November 1, so that's week 9 of the regular season.
You had me second-guessing myself. I'm like, I know I went over all the schedules and looked at it. And then
I kind of thought to myself.
You gave me that look like, I don't know if you're right, partner. I said, man.
I should not question you when it comes to this. Other things, I'll continue to question you. But I just was thinking to myself, like, how many non-district games does LCA have this year? I mean, it's
– well, it seems like every time they're playing a good schedule, though, man.
Westgate, Evangel, Northside,
Acadiana.
And Rain. That's the ones I could think of. I'm not looking at the schedule, so I'm not sure there's somebody else I'm missing. But at any rate, we saved a little time on the end here. Ben Love joined by Blaine Viator. We're talking high school football, getting you ready for a big 2019 season. Let's do it this way. Let's start in the area, and then we'll go statewide. Tasty week one matchups. What do we have in Acadiana?
Acadiana, Karen Crow, the first one to start out. These two programs, these two teams do not like each other. They're going to strap it up and get it on in week one. That's one I'm real excited about. As a Karen Crow follower, I'm really excited you catch Acadiana Rams in week one. Another one I look at, a Holy Cross coming over to STM. I think that that's going to be a great matchup. New Orleans coming to Lafayette. Let's see what Caleb Holstein and company can do. Turlings and Como, that Turlings team, we're still trying to figure out who they're going to be with Sammy LeBlanc coming back fully healthy. Como, do they take that next step forward after a 5-5 campaign? This next one is probably the one I'm most excited about outside of Karen Crow and Acadiana, and that's Westgate and LCA. Westgate's just absolutely littered with athletes. I mean, it's basketball on the football field, we always say, no different this year. And then LCA coming off two-time state champion. They have Sage Ryan, the borderline five-star for class of 2021. What is that team going to look like? you know, a year where we're not quite sure with the coaching uncertainty. And then you got Church Point, Notre Dame. Church Point's a team that I just said how excited I was about them. You know what you get with Notre Dame, with Louis Cook and company. And then Catholic and New Iberia and BC. BC is going to be awfully special this year. Ben, you mentioned them in the quick slants 7-on-7 that you saw. I think that's a team that's going to hum the football. But Catholic and New Iberia, we already know what kind of juggernaut that is.
I will not rank them, but I'm going to give you my top three. You just gave six area matchups. My three favorite in no particular order: Acadiana, Karen Crow, LCA Westgate. I got to tell you, outside of the one we're calling, right, the Wrecking Rams and the Golden Bears, I think Catholic New Iberia VC might just be my favorite, though. That's going to be a lot of fun. Two very different styles of offense.
I mean, VC is going to come in and try to throw it all over the football field. You know that Coach Indes and company is going to try to slow that game down, speed that game up and keep that vaunted offense off the field. Like you mentioned, two contrasting styles. I think it's going to be an exciting game.
I got to be quick with this point I'm going to make, and then we're going statewide. I ran into somebody I know who is an official in this area. He told me a few things that are going to change from a game management standpoint and a referee standpoint this year. One of them, I didn't realize this, the LHSAA is moving to a 40-second play clock this year.
Oh, that's
so teams like, just for example, Acadiana and Karen Crow. The way I kind of look at it is this: you could play some football like Danny Broussard and STM like to play basketball now, even more so.
So you're
you could strangle the clock out of a game more so now.
We'll be home, and then Danny Jones and STM and company will be in the second quarter of their matchup against Holy Cross.
That joke is growing mold, but it's still true.
That's
an interesting point this year. So when we talk about the way you manage a game and time management, that's a big deal. All right, get to statewide because I've got a clear-cut favorite here.
Yeah, this is a big weekend, week one for the state. Catholic of Baton Rouge is going to take on Parkview Baptist. This is the juggernaut for me. John Curtis versus Carr.
Yeah.
Then you got John Arrett and U-High. Rustin versus Neville. St. Aug, McDonough 35. Warren Easton, De La Salle. A lot of New Orleans on New Orleans crime going right there, Ben. And Madison Prep and Walker.
there's already enough New Orleans on New Orleans crime, but I'll not digress further.
Look, John Curtis Carr is probably going to – I mean, that's almost a national matchup. I mean, you get the same thing each and every year with John Curtis, and it's just Carr's just – it's ridiculous the talent that team has.
Carr versus Curtis is about as good as this state can offer in week one especially. I mean, those are juggernauts, man. They get there every single year. I'm excited about that. So I'll tell you that we've got opportunities to watch Evangel come to town to play LCA. You mentioned Holy Cross is coming to STM during the course of the season. I know the Catholic Baton Rouge is coming to St. Thomas More. So we have a lot of our proud area teams that are going to be welcoming in juggernauts from outside of this area. I'm looking forward to all of that. Week one, 3 weeks and a day away. And what you just gave us, I think that's enough to water everybody's mouth a little bit.
Yeah, I hope I can make it over to a couple scrimmages next week, see some local teams in action, get a good feel for what's going to happen this season. And then, look, 2 weeks away from the Kiwanis Jamboree, you know we'll be out at Cajun Field enjoying our time.
Thank you for leaving me with the gift of New Orleans on New Orleans crime. I'll take that and figure out how to use it later. Blaine, always, man. This is great.
Appreciate it. Look forward to it next week.
That's Blaine Viator. And this has been High School Football Talk, first half hour of every 6 o'clock hour. Throughout this football season, we'll be doing exactly this. We may squeeze in a little LSU, Saints here and there, Astros, especially toward a playoff run, but we'd love to give you the best in Acadiana High School football talk when Blaine is with us. All right, we're going to exit stage left briefly. When we return, a quick preview of tonight's NFL action, talk a little Saints, and then we'll get closer to 7 o'clock. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Back in, having a lot of fun at the Taproom River Ranch. And, yeah, we're going to talk some NFL as we come down the home stretch of today's program. Saints do not play until Sunday, 3 p.m. Central Time. It'll be the Saints at the L.A. Chargers, but we'll give you a little taste of exactly how Houdat Nation is feeling. They're out on the West Coast, and that's good. They'll have a stretch next month, I believe. It's early in the season, if I'm not mistaken. It may run into early October. But early in the year, they'll play two straight games on the West Coast. So I know they'll be staying out there. Good to get used to it now. Also a plus, getting away from this oppressive heat in the deep south at this time of year for practice. Let's let you hear from the Saints. We'll go with an offensive, a defensive player, and then a cut from quarterback Drew Brees. But before any of that, or before we get to Drewby, I should say, I want to start with Demario Davis, one of my favorite players on this Saints team. Certainly the acquisition of last offseason when he came over from the New York Jets. Davis, his take on the first day of joint practices between the Saints and the Bolts.
I think it was good. I think it was some plays made on both sides of the ball for both teams. You never really know until you get in and look at the tape. But it was, you know, it felt good to be out here flying around. It looked like the energy was great. Good competition on both sides. It was great practice.
We'll get some more for the Saints starting linebacker in the middle. This one, hey, when you go up against Brees, you've always got a little bit of extra preparation for other teams, whether it be, you know, the Chargers and Phillip Rivers, whether it be the Patriots, who the Saints always usually find time to work against, and Tom Brady. Doesn't really matter. When you get Brees every single week, it helps you leading up to those guys.
I mean, anytime you're going against the best in the game, you know, you see everything. His checks at the line of scrimmage, you know, trying to get run pass tendencies, the throws he makes, the timing that the ball comes out. I mean, you're just not going to get a better look, you know, and not just him when you have one of the top receivers in the game, one of the top running backs, one of the top tight ends. You're going against that, and when you have a matchup like that, you know, one of the best at their position and one of the best quarterbacks throwing the ball, you can't get a better look from a timing standpoint and a location standpoint. So you really have to be pristine in your game. So it really helps you fine-tune your skills.
And see, I don't think that's just Homer radio. I don't think that's just a Homer take. I know he plays for the Saints. But objectively, let's think about that. I think he's right. Objectively, I think the Saints do have top five options, maybe top seven if you wanted me to stretch it a little bit, at every single one of those positions. In Brees, Kamara, Thomas, and now I would think as a pass-catching tight end at least, Jared Cook. Interesting. All right, one more quickie from Demario Davis. This is pretty good. He says the Chargers in practice, yeah, they're pretty keen on ripping off his pose after turnovers.
Oh, man, you know everybody want to copy us, man. So at this point, you know, it is what it is. Everybody know who the originals were.
Yeah, Saints were doing that, I think, before Demario came over. They certainly loved continuing it when they got him from the Jets. All right, let's move to the offensive side of the football. Before we get to Drew Brees, let's go to one of his new backfield mates, Latavius Murray, the former Viking and Raider. He knows he's going to have more opportunities in this offense, kind of taking the place of Mark Ingram.
I think the opportunities that I'll have here, more so than I have in the past anywhere else, I think they'll be there because of the offense and mainly because of number nine out there. He's gonna make his reads and he's gonna get the ball into a receiver's hands, you know, probably quicker than any quarterback that I've played with. And you know, that can be very beneficial, not taking a negative play, getting something, you know, making something out of nothing.
So let's continue that train of thought on quarterbacks that Latavius has played with. Anybody in particular that number nine in the black and gold reminds him of?
No, I won't compare him. I think, you know, no disrespect to any of the guys that I've played with, but I think everybody here can agree he's in a league of his own with some of the others that are playing right now today.
There you go. We got one more coming from Drew Brees, but how about this? We've got live football on the tube here at the Taproom River Ranch. Jets against the Falcons. New York's got it first. Sam Darnold and the Jets are on the move, and right now they're throwing at will against this Falcons secondary. Somewhere an angel just got its wings, and a 28-3 joke was made. All right, let's move it back to the New Orleans side of the ledger, and let's get one from Drew Brees before we run out of time in real estate. In this segment, here's Brees on just exactly what these joint practices do, especially these current practices on the West Coast against the Chargers.
I'd say for me, it's even more valuable because I'm getting a lot more reps, obviously, in these practices than I would be getting in a preseason game. And so, and you script situations, right? You don't always encounter every situation in a preseason game, but out here you're able to script, you know, play action periods and pressure periods, third down, red zone, 2 minute, you know, everything that would happen throughout the course of a normal game or the regular season. And you get to go up against a really, really good talented team, a team that's used to winning, a team that was a playoff team last year. So I think it's good. It ramps up the competition.
Then we got a few more moments in this segment. You just conducted and led a fantasy draft last night, and you said that nobody overreached for any of the Saints players. All right, that's a rarity. I'm assuming that includes Breeze as well. Got me to thinking a little bit. I just mentioned Breeze is probably a top five quarterback. Was he one of the top five? You don't have to go back and look at the draft order exactly, but just kind of a feel thing. Do you recall him being one of the top five quarterbacks taken last night in your draft?
Yeah, he was a top five, kind of rounding out that top five, in fact, because it went in order. It went, let's see here, Pat Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, then you have Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Deshaun Watson.
See, I take some exception to some of that, but certainly not all of it. Mahomes should be the first quarterback taken in any fantasy league. I could see where in some order after that, wouldn't be long before you get to those guys you mentioned, except maybe Baker Mayfield. That's a great upside pick. I don't know that he's one of the top three I would take. I get Deshaun Watson. You didn't mention Matt Ryan, but I would get him in there. Rivers, Brady, Russell Wilson, for different reasons and with different strengths, are all kind of right there for me in that same boat as Drew Brees. So, is he still holding on as a top five quarterback fantasy-wise? Eh, maybe, maybe not. Top five reality quarterback? Yeah, I think that part at least is fair. So talking football and watching football here at the Tap Room River Ranch. And right now you've got a Falcons cornerback, or safety actually, that is down on the ground. Looks like he really messed up his hand. So yikes, time of the year where injuries occur. So Falcons-Jets right now. You've also got the Eagles and the Jags that are underway. I believe I just saw where Alfred Blue had a touch for the Jags. I kind of forgot that he was traded over to where Leonard Fournette is playing. So always interesting this time of year. You learn a ton. All right, we've been almost football exclusive today. What else would you expect? However, we did sneak in a tremendous interview with one of the best to ever cover the Houston Astros, and certainly Major League Baseball as a beat writer. Richard Justice, MLB.com, was with us early in the 4 o'clock hour. Feels like many moons ago. In reality, it was about 2.5 hours ago. On the other side of this break, as we wind down today's program, we're going to send you right back to that. So we'll do a Q&A replay with Richard Justice, the Astros pitching staff, the bullpen. Yeah, it kind of imploded yesterday, didn't it, against the Chicago White Sox. We'll talk the AL and the NL contenders outside of the usual suspects. So much more going on in today's program. But when we return, we're going to turn our attention to Major League Baseball, the Astros, and everything you need to know coming down toward the playoffs. So we'll be right back at it. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch, and only on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Want to go head-to-head in fantasy football with the host of 103.7 The Game? Now is your chance. Acadiana Sports Station is hosting live fantasy football draft parties at Twin Peaks on Johnston, and you're invited to join one of our four leagues. You can play against Under the Dome's Clint Domain, RP3 and Company's Raymond Parch III, Bumper to Bumper Sports' Ben Love, and the Blonde Bomber, Jordy Holper. So call 337-706-0111 and book your spot right now.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today's...
Seems like we had a little technical difficulties here as we end Bumper Bumper Sports with Ben Love. He's live at the Tap Room River Ranch. We're going to try and get him back, but luckily we got something in our back pocket to kind of wrap up the show in a nice little bow. But before we do that, kind of some news kind of popped up as we were taking a commercial break, and it pertains a little bit to the Los Angeles Chargers, which we dove into in the last segment. And apparently Melvin Gordon wants to return in time for the season, but according to Adam Schefter of the Four Letter Network, he's prepared to sit out if no new deal is reached. So basically the two parties are making absolutely zero progress. But now we're going to progress and progress over to an interview we had earlier today with Richard Justice. It is a positively fantastic interview. It's so nice, some might say we played it twice.
It's time to bring aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, Richard Justice, MLB.com correspondent. Richard, it's getting to be that time. We're getting oh so close to the playoffs. How are you today?
I'm good. It is about that time. It's you know, for a lot of these teams, especially in the National League, it's one of those stretches where it feels like your season's riding on every pitch. And you know, Ben, players have told you after it's over, after the season's over, they're exhausted mentally and physically. But at the time, you don't even know you're tired because there's so much riding on everything.
You and I spoke a couple of months back, and the conversation was the 2017 group that won it all and this 2019 group. Now they've bolstered the roster. Let's look at the pitching rotation. I guess your observations about the addition not only of Zach Greinke, but of Aaron Sanchez as well.
Yeah, they couldn't. You know, Sanchez, I look at him as a future acquisition. They believe he's going to be a mainstay in 2020 and beyond. I don't know what his role will be in the postseason this year, but they went out and got a big-time arm. And it's the kind of arm not unlike Charlie Morton, not unlike Wade Miley that they've had success with. What Jeff Luhnow has done is put the team in the best position to succeed he can. You know, but as we saw in 2017, a lot of these postseason games come down to a coin flip. Who makes a play at the right time. And Jim Leland, I would always tell, or always would say, don't tell me who the best team is in the regular season. Tell me who the healthiest team is on October 1 and the team that's playing the best. So, you know, it's the rest of this season for the Astros is about just trying to get your ducks lined up and being in the best position you can be in terms of the way you're playing.
Richard, offensively, this Astros team at times scuffled a little bit at the beginning of the season. Lately, they have been just white hot. I know that injuries will tell the tale come playoff time, like you mentioned, but which version do you think that they're maybe closer to of the two that I just mentioned?
Yeah, you know, this is a better team on paper than the 2017 team. The bullpen is much better, you know, and that was a problem in 2017. And you're not going to find a better, as good as the Mets rotation is, as good as the Indians are, and Nationals are pitching right now. You're not going to find one better than this. And what you mentioned about the offense, you know, adding Alvarez to this mix, adding Michael Brantley, that lineup is scary good. I don't know that you're ever going to. This is as good as you can get right here because it's a. You know, they talk about high leverage pitches that a pitcher has to throw, and who do you focus on in the lineup? You don't have that freedom when you're facing this lineup because you start at Springer at the top and you go to Gurriel in the seventh spot and Alvarez in the fifth spot and all those guys. It's a pretty dynamic group there.
Talking now with Richard Justice, MLB.com, and that's where they've got the Morning Lineup podcast. He does that alongside our good friend Allison Footer. And a guy you didn't mention there, when speaking of the offense, is Yuli Gurriel. How do we account for the monster that he has been after the All-Star break?
Yeah, you know, he had a conversation with Carlos Beltran, and Carlos Beltran made some, and he's done this with others. He did this with guys when he was on the team, and he just sort of made a tweak to his mechanics, opened his front foot up a little bit, and it allowed him to see the ball out of the pitcher's hands with both eyes instead of one eye. And he's just been a monster. And, you know, when you talk about who's going good, who's not, and all that, that's exactly what we're talking about. You want to get to the playoffs with them performing at about the level they're at right now. You couldn't, you're not guaranteed of anything, but it's as close to a guarantee as you can have. You know, when you look around, you go, well, the Yankees are tremendous, and the Dodgers are tremendous. You know, and you've got a bunch of other teams that are getting hot at the right time. But it's a long time. It's still got 6 weeks to go, 7 weeks, and we'll see see how it works out between them. And it's really a fun group to watch.
I always love, Richard, if your brain when it comes to the rest of the MLB. So let's stay in the American League first. The Yankees, the Astros, they're running away with their divisions. I'm going to throw out at you the Twins, the Indians, and the Rays. Do you like one of those three more than the rest?
The Twins, the Rays, and the Indians. I think the Indians have top to bottom the best pitching staff. And but I'll tell you, the team that I think is really dangerous in the postseason is Tampa Bay, because they have pitchers that throw really hard, and they make every at-bat uncomfortable. If they can string together, and I guess you could say the same thing about the Indians, if they could string together enough offense, they would be the team to watch. But really, considering the way Minnesota scores runs, any of those three teams could win the World Series.
We'll finish on the National League side. Obviously, the Dodgers will be a favorite to get to a third straight World Series. Anybody else you like? Can these kind of young Braves get their way there? Maybe the Cubs? Who else in the National League could do it?
Yeah, I think Atlanta is really, really good, and they've done a good job bringing reinforcements into the bullpen. They, like Minnesota, score runs in bunches. If the Mets get to the playoffs, and I don't know if they're going to get there, but if they get there, they've got a rotation, a postseason-designed rotation that's as good as you're going to see. And since Lugo moved to the closer's role, they're pretty good there, and they've got a little of that magic going. Washington is also a team that nobody talks about, but Scherzer now is going to be back in the rotation probably this weekend, probably on Saturday. So you got, if you can go with Scherzer, Pat Corbin, and Strasburg, that's a postseason rotation too. And, you know, with Anthony Rendon is performing like an MVP. You know, I think that's the thing about all these teams is that you could make a case for pretty much 10 teams winning the World Series, although you would start with the Dodgers, the Astros, and the Yankees, maybe in that order.
So as we talk here in middle of August, Richard, everybody here is football crazy. This time of year, we mentioned you're gearing up for the MLB playoffs, but anything football-wise get you excited?
No, I like being at home on Saturdays watching college football. I'm interested in the LSU-Texas game early in the season, but I watch from 11 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night on a Saturday. I kind of enjoy it all.
That's a beautiful thing. It's our pleasure to have aboard Richard Justice, MLB.com. Richard, again, thanks for the time. Enjoy the rest of the season.
Thank you, Ben.
Richard Justice, as always, is a tremendous interview to kind of get you hyped up for the Astros taking on the Oakland A's. A four-game set about to get underway in a couple of hours. 9:07, I believe, is first pitch. 8:30 Astro launch-ish, somewhere along those lines. But, of course, a lot of things we're talking about with this. Of course, the starting lineup is out now. And batting first, leadoff, of course, it's George Springer. Right behind him, Jose Altuve. Michael Brantley batting third. And cleanup is Alex Bregman, with Yordan Alvarez, strong candidate for Rookie of the Year, batting fifth. Carlos Correa batting sixth. Yuli Gurriel batting seventh. Robinson Chirinos batting eighth. And then batting ninth is Josh Reddick. And then Aaron Sanchez getting the start. He has a 5-14 record, but don't let that deceive you, because the last two starts he's had has been pretty good. A part of a combined no-hitter, six shutout innings, and then five innings of work, three hits, and one run allowed. Definitely a far cry from what he had been doing. And then, of course, he's taken on Mike Fiers, former Houston Astro. He's been looking good, 11-3. But here's the thing. He has underwhelmed against the Astros, going 0-2 in his last five appearances, dating all the way back to 2012. Only played against him five times, twice this season, both of them in no decisions. That's about all we got here for Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And we'll be back with you tomorrow, live from Rufino's on the River. So keep it locked right here. The fun, it all starts at 4 on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.